A Milwaukee elections official says an FBI agent paid him a visit. He thinks it was part of the president's probe into the 2020 election. It's Friday, May 15th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, a Democratic candidate for governor blasts rivals for helping vote down the governor's tax rebate and school funding bill. And state employees are barred from some uses of online betting sites. Stay with us.
Help students start and stay writing with Woobin Soccer, a free multimedia resource from PBS Wisconsin Education and UW-Madison School of Education. Collaborative arts-based activities and lessons are designed to help learners build confidence in writing and see how extraordinary their ideas are. Visit pbswisconsineducation.org to explore the Woobin Soccer collection today.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation visited the home of Milwaukee County's elections director. Evan Casey has more.
Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen said a representative of the FBI visited his elections director's home and left a business card. Christensen believes it was related to the 2020 election. President Donald Trump lost Wisconsin by around 21,000 votes that year. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he was, quote, irritated by the visit.
Quite frankly, it feels like an act of intimidation. And so we're going to continue to fight back. You know, we want folks to understand that these elections were free and fair.
A spokesperson for the Milwaukee Division of the FBI said the agency had no comment. According to a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, an FBI investigation into the 2020 election in Wisconsin is underway. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Most of the candidates for governor were reluctant to support the $1.8 billion budget deal that failed in the legislature Wednesday night. As Rich Kramer reports, Missy Hughes came out in favor, calling it a missed opportunity.
Governor Tony Evers negotiated the deal for months with Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu. All three are retiring. It passed the Wisconsin Assembly. Minutes later, all Democrats and three Republicans killed the deal in the Senate. The deal was opposed by Republican gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany and nearly all Democrats running for the seat. But in a video Thursday, Democrat and former Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Director Missy Hughes attacked the whole lot for what she called a missed opportunity on special ed funding.
And instead, we ended up with nothing because Democratic candidates for governor lined up with Tom Tiffany and killed this opportunity.
Tiffany reportedly called GOP lawmakers to oppose the bill before it tanked in the Senate. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin and other states again face steep funding cuts for water and wastewater projects under the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed budget, but they face bipartisan pushback in Congress. President Donald Trump wants to slash the EPA's budget by more than half to $4.2 billion. State revolving loan funds face a 90% cut. They help pay for waste and wastewater upgrades. In the last fiscal year, Wisconsin saw a record $1 billion in funding requests under loan programs that receive federal money. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin told a U.S. Senate Appropriations Subcommittee this week that billions from those funds have sat untouched.
We have a lot of states that actually haven't spent anything of what they've received in 23 since fiscal year 23. Wisconsin is not one of those states. That's a good thing.
Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin objected to the cuts. Alaska Republican U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski said they would harm health and safety. Governor Tony Evers is warning state employees to be careful about what they bet on. He issued an executive order yesterday which applies to more than 30,000 state workers. It bans those workers from using insider knowledge that they gain as a result of their government service as a way to profit via prediction markets. The order comes in response to the rising popularity of online platforms like Kalshi and Polymarket. Those sites allow users to put money on the outcome of real-world events, like who will win an election or when a tornado may hit. Earlier this year, federal prosecutors filed charges against an American soldier who's accused of misusing classified information. Prosecutors say he used that knowledge to place online wagers about the U.S. invasion of Venezuela. Almost half of all students in Wisconsin are in rural schools, and a new grant for Madison College might get teachers in those classrooms. Avery Martinez says the challenge of rural teachers isn't training, it's keeping them in those communities.
Instead of trying to lure teachers from big cities, Madison College wants to turn rural folks into the educators they need. A new $156,000 grant is designed to help by offering a more local, flexible, and accessible path to a degree. Madison College hopes small-town teachers will stay where they already have roots. Shauna Marquardt, dean of the Rural Educators Program, says 9 out of 10 Madison grads stay in Wisconsin.
So we're not dealing with, you know, brain drain or people leaving the state. And 78% of our students will stay in the district that they train in.
She says the biggest challenge is letting rural people know education careers are an option. Avery Martinez, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Foundation received one of its largest gifts in school history yesterday. Environmentalist and philanthropist Lynette Eline donated $10 million. The endowment will benefit the School of Freshwater Sciences and support student education and its faculty. The money will also provide operating funds for the school's research vessels. Karen Shapiro works with Eline. She spoke on her behalf.
Lynette Eline believes deeply in the power of science and science-backed policy to shape a more sustainable and equitable future.
This is not Eline's first gift to the school. The Center for Water Policy and an endowed chair position at UWM are funded by a $2.6 million gift she gave to the university in 2011. Coming up, a story about a walk in the woods. That's right after this.
I'm Pam Schwartzbach. My husband, Troy Cutre, and I are the owners of Hive of Madison. Hive of Madison is an outdoor lifestyle and boutique here in Madison, Wisconsin.
It is very frequent that we hear from customers. We heard you on public radio today.
More than any other thing that we do to promote our business, it is public radio that we hear our customers thanking us for.
We find that public radio definitely resonates with our customer.
Learn more about business sponsorship at wpr.org/sponsor.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Constant distractions exist in our daily lives, and even when we try to find an escape in nature, technology can often pull us away from truly appreciating our surroundings. Writer Jill Sisson-Quinn reflects on ways we can slow down, observe, and reconnect with the world around us.
I've hiked the Ice Age Trail's New Hope segment for 20 years. My hiking regularity has waxed and waned over time. And now that I'm back at it again, I've been thinking about what it means, good and bad, to be a creature of habit. When I first started hiking this trail, I sat in the forest for hours, with no phone, no media but my Newcomb's wildflower guide or my Peterson's field guide to birds. I had nothing to do but observe. I could turn over the same log at the top of the hill above Severson Lake to reveal a certain spotted salamander anytime the humidity was right. Year after year, I watched a single yellow lady slipper bloom. I knew exactly where to look for its distinctive parallel-veined, finely haired leaves each late May. Halfway up the second hill, before the first of two homemade deer blinds. Ironically, habitually walking the same trail also increases your chances of seeing something not so habitual, like the time my first dog went nose to nose with a badger in some sort of Disney-style interspecies hello. With my second dog, I tend to hike through, because if we do pause, that ever-present encyclopedia now in my back pocket pulses with the promise of answers to all of the questions that pop into my mind while walking. My phone is silenced, but there's nothing so loud as the world's brain in the palm of your hand when you're alone in the forest. And once my phone is out, say to ID a flower whose name I can't recall, its apps are like overripe berries along the trail I can't resist tapping into my palm to devour. So I avoid stopping to prevent that other habit, checking my phone, which research shows we touch somewhere between 352 and 2,617 times a day. My habitual hiking this spring has revealed that although my salamander is gone, or actually his log now decomposed, the yellow lady's slipper still pops up in the same place, now a trio. I also see a scarlet tanager on the same branch on successive days. Like me, it too is a creature of I likely its surprise. One day, at the low point before the trail's steepest hill, from a tangle of brush about 10 feet to my right, a coyote rises and moves away from me. It is yellow, brown, black, and not lithe, but lanky. Rather than scamper off, it simply exits my view into the undergrowth. I've seen coyotes before, but never this close or this slow motion. Is it following me from a distance? How many times has it watched me on this walk? My walks this spring have shown me the rewards of being a creature of habit, but also reminded me to pay attention to the habits I form. As often as we check our phones, we should check our forests, tapping into nature's algorithms, not just artificial ones. In the joy of information availability, we have forgotten what the brain really wants. Not necessarily to know, but to notice and to wonder.
Jill Sisson Quinn is a writer who lives in Scandinavia. This piece was produced by Tyler Ditter. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And now turning to weather, light showers possible this morning and then decreasing clouds, breezy and warm. Highs expected in the upper 70s to low 80s. And then tonight, some passing showers and storms, especially over the southern half. Lows expected in the 50s statewide. And then tomorrow for Saturday, it's partly cloudy and warmer, temperatures likely to reach the upper 70s to low 80s. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Friday. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Deneen Smith. We'll talk to you again next week.